Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, and I got a couple of the bad boys here with me. Let me start differently this time. Matt Michaels, how are you?
I'm doing well, DJ Impact.
Are you?
No. I'm masking the pain.
Hey, so we don't have Sin City Steve here. We don't have Simon Street here. But you know who we do have?
Who?
Excuse me, can I please have some decorum? Hear ye, all in attendance. Please make way for the Lord of the Manor, King Lucky of House Merc.
King Lucky, how are you?
It's good to be back. I've been away, and now I am back.
Yeah.
All bow down to the King of Kings.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you back, man. You've been missed, you know, and all the little smirk villets going around. And
rumor has it.
Wondering where their king is. We have a good show for you tonight. We're going to talk to Ken Shamrock, which is pretty exciting. I'm going to come back to him in just a moment. Make sure, though, after the interview, you continue to listen because we're going to talk somewhat on AEW All Out. StarCast had a big weekend as well. I heard CM Punk showed up or something like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy, the best in the world.
Best in the
world. The best in the world!
And we can talk a little bit about some of the television shows as well. But going back, Ken Shamrock, can you imagine? Dude, he is back. And what I found interesting is he was minding his own business, you know, just having a conversation with Cage. And then all of a sudden, Moose just, you know, decide he want to get involved. Now, he doesn't understand Ken's record at all. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Ken let him know all about it.
Well, let me tell you what it's like to have a resume of a champion. Three-time Tough Man champion. First King of the Pancras Tournament champion. UFC Superfight champion. Pride Superfight champion. Oh, and let's not forget UFC Hall of Fame. But here's a good one. The Godfather. That's right, the Godfather, and the first ever Impact Wrestling champion. So here's the deal. Your boss has made it really clear. On September 5th and 6th, I will be in Vegas, and I will be standing in front of you. You got my attention.
Wow.
Shit.
I can't wait. We're going to be there, guys. We're going to see this front and center.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to this.
Moose wants all the smoke, apparently.
What are you thinking, Matt, over there?
I'm thinking that Moose is a very, very stupid man.
Right.
He's in big, big fucking trouble.
Right. I think so, too. Well, we will see. That's going to be going down this Thursday and Friday at Sam's Town. We're going to have Impact Wrestling here. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But now we're going to get to our favorite part of the show, three count.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
Okay, so from Mandatory.com, aka WrestleZone, it was reported that ex-WWE and Lucha Underground writer Chris DeJoseph wasn't a fan of AEW All Out show and says that WWE isn't scared by them. Now, the reason why, He wants AEW to succeed, but says the show lacked a story. He also says that if you want the average fan to be invested, if you want to gain an audience, story trumps all, and that all was severely lacking. So he claimed to have talked to WWE staff, and there are not even close of being on their radar. Now, after watching this weekend AEW All Out, I got to ask you, fellas, do you agree with Chris D. Joseph that the show lacked story? And how important is having a storyline important in wrestling? What do you think, King?
Interesting take, because I threw a poll out on our Instagram.
Okay.
And everybody that participated in the poll said that they enjoyed the show.
Okay.
Felt like they got sure. their money's worth.
Okay.
But in talking to close friends that are also, you know, interested in the wrestling business, huge longtime fans, they felt like All Out kind of took a step back. Watching the show, there were some things that were definitely head scratchers for me. I definitely enjoyed overall, you know, the aspects of the show. I thought the women's casino battle royal was very good. Even though it felt a little rushed, they had so much talent but so little time, right?
Right. But even before you even go into, like, just the show in general, yeah. you know, just the story aspect. So even if you start with the women, well, I mean, did you think there was a story there? The buy-in?
Not so much in the buy-in, but I think overall they told some interesting stories, like the Cody and Sean Spears sure, one they were really right. invested in.
I mean, that was probably the story that was
yeah.
sold the most.
Yeah. No, yeah. I definitely think they've got enough talent there to tell the stories, and that they did a good job with the lead up to this.
Okay. Well, what do you think, man?
Well, after watching the weekly TV show.
Right.
You know, come on. I mean, there isn't going to be that much story because you don't have a product to look at every fucking week. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give them time. It's like instant gratification. Everyone wants, you know, this to be at the level of competing with WWE. Well, first of all, they have to establish something.
Right.
You know, and if you've got, the fucking over here saying they took a step back, well, that shows you something. You know, that's a problem,
right?
Because you so far have built your brand on just these one-offs,
right?
So the magic that you saw last year, you didn't see necessarily the same magic. Now, with that being said, the crowd, again, they capture the crowd.
Yeah.
The energy in the building.
Right.
So even though there might not be a lot of story per se,
right,
you still have fans, you know, they're hungry for something.
Right, yeah.
And I think the problem is, as of right now, until it actually gets going, I don't think that those fans will admit that they were disappointed. You know, because then they, you know, it makes them feel stupid, right? You know, I just invested in this money, and then, you know, maybe it wasn't as good as I thought it should be. So I'll over-talk it for now.
Right. Yeah. But it definitely shows the importance of why having a weekly show would be an advantage, because Pac went against Omega, but there was no build to that because of Moxley not being injured, pretty much, you know. So it was just pretty. And it, by the way, I thought it was a great match, but still, there was no story to build up on it to make you really get truly invested,
right,
into the match.
That's a very interesting point,
mm-hmm.
because I think a lot of people looked at it as the match of the night.
I mean, it was a great match. I'm not going to take away from that,
right?
Yeah,
but you just made a very good point, and that is, here we're talking about story. That match didn't have any story, any lead up.
Right.
And yet, people are saying that it was the match of the night. So I think that you have kind of a twofold here. One, story is absolutely important.
It is, yep.
Right? Because that's how you survive.
Right.
If you're just running matches, you're just running matches. Yeah. There's no character there. But at the same time, the audience base, the fan base, they are the small percentage of wrestling fans who think that the match itself, you just take matches by themselves, those are the important things.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
You know, so, you know, we'd rather see seven amazing matches than, you know, a storyline where, you know, someone got kidnapped and is being held by the jihadi terrorists or something, right?
Right.
So I think that this is where you're going to see a blend have to happen.
Yeah.
Where you're telling stories and you can have characters like Luciosaurus, like a Jungle Boy.
Right.
But then you have to have, you know, it mix with the pure wrestling.
Right.
Where people are going to, you know, see that, hey, you know, they can just throw in a pack in place of Moxley, you know, and not have to worry about
because
it.
Because the Cody and Spears match, I think, was said to not actually be that great of a match compared to some of the other matches, but the story leading up to it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and I mean, you also had a couple of spots happen during that match. You know, you had the Arn Anderson spot
where
he came in, delivered Spinebuster.
Yeah.
Tully was there. And I thought, you know, for all intents and purposes, the story sold the match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it the best match of either man's career? Yeah, probably not. But
does it have to be?
It doesn't have to.
See, I mean, that's where this cross is happening. So here you have one match that has no story, and it's like, wow, this is an amazing match. Then you have a match that has a good story, but maybe it's not the best match. That's the balance you have to have, you know? And for anyone to criticize then that match as how that match was boring, but at the same time, the story was good. So I think that's the problem you're going to have finding that balance because these are the same people who think that WWE sucks.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> And that's all storytelling.
Exactly. Awesome. All right, well. Chris D. Joseph, I guess we're going to agree with you this time, man, with the ex-WWE and Lucha Underground writer. Let's get to the second ring count. From MMANews.com. King Luck, I'm going to need you to get ready on this, all right? Now, it was reported that retired fighter MMA Kenny Florian believes that DC, who's known as Daniel Cormier, should retire. He's not interested in seeing him fight John Jones, especially at 205 pounds, which is what Jones want. And he's not interested in seeing a rematch against Stipe Miocic. I did pretty well then.
Yeah, you did, actually.
Now, yes, those fights will bring in the big bucks, but he thinks that DC has enough money to preserve a tremendous legacy and will go down as one of the best in the sport. So I got to ask you, King Lucky, do you agree with Kenny Florian and believe that DC should retire?
All right, let me give you the long answer on this one because I watched the fight back a couple of times. I've been a longtime fan of Daniel Cormier. And watching the fight, I watched the first fight, the second fight, two totally different fights. First fight, it was pretty much even, and then DC clipped him, got the knockout. The second fight was even for about two rounds. DC went in with his hands down and had this strategy that his corner was definitely knocking him for, which was Rock'em Sock'em Robots. He's a wrestler.
Okay.
DC, to that point, had never been finished, defeated by a heavyweight.
Okay.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
So his strategy was bad. He probably fell in love like most fighters do with standing and striking mm-hmm. instead of what brings you to the dance.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no. I don't want to see him retire just yet because I think if any match makes sense, the John Jones rematch does not make sense.
It doesn't. Okay.
It does not. He's already got beaten twice by a John Jones. You know, and so that doesn't make sense, even though there's big money there for the UFC and for all parties involved.
Yeah.
But I think you could make money, and this could be a very even matchup with him and Stipe again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he won one, Stipe won one.
Right.
And if you look at it, they kind of won in both devastating fashion with these two fights.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be a fight to make, I'd like to see that one happen again. And I think it's a very winnable fight for him.
Right.
If he follows the game plan, and he won't make that mistake again.
Right.
He's very disciplined. And so I would like to see him not go out on a knockout, you know,
yeah.
because it was, you know, he got finished. And, you know, it's tough for him and it's probably tough for his family to see that. But I think that he could come back and win and go out on a win.
Let me ask you, Matt, I mean, if DC can still handle himself quite well in the octagon, I mean, why should he retire? I mean,
well, I think the first off, I think that listen, it comes down to, are you sound in terms of your physical abilities?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can make a living, why not do what you do making a living? That's
right.
That's fine.
I mean, he still wins. It's not like he's on this losing streak.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Muhammad Ali, he went out a loser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the greatest of all time in boxing. Right?
That's true. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, he you know, he physically, he was fading. So it depends on if you're healthy, if your family supports it, then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't need a retired MMA guy telling me to fucking stop fighting.
Right.
Because that's what he chose to do.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, and that, you know, who the fuck was it?
Ken Florian. But here's the other thing, too. Like, Ken never reached. He had a lot of success, but he never reached the pinnacle. And so it's going to be hard for him to have a point of view that Daniel Cormier would have, because he never had the championship and all the, you know, the trappings that came with it.
It's a jealous fucking move. Mm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, retire. Well, that's easy for you to fucking say.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's like us sitting here and going, no, go fight, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not us. We can easily say fight or flight. It doesn't matter, because it's not our bodies. It's not our money. It's not our families.
Right.
So, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, it's gotten to a point where you can put a microphone in front of any asshole and they can say something and it'll be news.
Right.
So I think that Daniel Cormier should retire because that's news.
Right,
there you
right,
go.
Right,
I'm an asshole and I have a microphone. So there you go.
Right. King Lucky, I know you get a little bit iffy when you hear the numbers 205, but in this case, is 205 a not a good position for DC to be in to fight against John Jones?
I mean, first of all, John Jones is on a whole nother level and has been for, you know, the better part of the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really tough to see, or as a fan of the sport, it's tough for me to want to pay money to see somebody that's already beaten you twice beat you again.
Right.
And
fuck you.
I love DC, man.
Fuck
I do.
You, dude.
I totally do. But I mean, you know, two times he hasn't figured out that puzzle.
Okay.
You know, I think that he definitely figured out Stipe and he's figured out heavyweights.
Okay.
I mean, the guy hasn't lost to a heavyweight except Stipe now. I mean, he went on an incredible run through Strikeforce, where he beat the best of the best in terms of heavyweights. gets to the UFC. And the only reason why he arrived at 205 is because Cain Velasquez, his training partner and best friend, was in, you know, the heavyweight division. So they never were going to fight each other. But now Cain is gone. So that's why DC is there. But he doesn't have to cut weight. You know, he just feels better. You know, so I think plus, plus, plus for being in heavyweight.
Yeah.
But if he fights again, that's the fight to make, him and Stipe.
Right, because Stipe, who the fuck is that? I know Roy Jones.
Stipe is a well-decorated champion. And look, that's Matt Michaels, okay? Stipe, if you want to tune anybody up, Matt Michaels.
Dude, you didn't even listen to what I said. Because I didn't even say John Jones. I said Roy Jones.
Well, I know. I heard the Roy Jones. You said, who's Stipe?
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. At least, you know, you got a Jones that you can choose from.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Let's go into the three-ring count.
Three!
Okay, from SBNation.com. Now, this article goes over what recently happened in AEW regarding the chair shot that Cody took from Spears back at Fighters Fest. It mentions what AEW will do going forward with the chair shot. It talks about Nowinski retiring in 2003 with post-concussion syndrome. It briefly talks about Chris Benoit and what methods WWE implemented. And talked about the industry as a whole. I mean, it's a great article to read, and these discussions have been talked about before in pro wrestling and in NFL. But the article says, and I quote, chair shots aren't the only source of concussions in wrestling. Far from it. But they are the most easily altered move in the industry that can be phased out with relative ease. End quote. So my question is, why don't they? Why don't they just fade the chair shots out?
I think that's a it's a really stupid question.
Because, you're stupid.
Well, you didn't come up with the question.
Sorry,
I get a little defensive.
No, I'm just gonna go ahead. I'm defensive.
No, I think it's a little stupid in this respect.
Sure.
It's already been phased out. Think about it.
Yeah. We're talking chair shots specifically to the head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Those have been phased out.
Which, if you look at what happened with Cody, is it Cody's fault or is it Sean Spears' fault? I'm going to ask you that.
I think that it was an intentional chair shot to the head because they wanted this attention.
It was, but let me ask you this, because it is partially your responsibility if you're in this spot. You know, like if you get thrown against the ring stairs or you get a chair shot to the head, aren't you supposed to put your hand up and defend that shot?
If you want to, yes.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to and you want attention.
And that got them all the attention they can handle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which they didn't see that it was going to get negative attention.
And I'll tell you, I watched that shot probably about 15 to 20 times, and each time I watch it, I'm like, was this real? Because at the angle that he hit him on, he hit him from the left, but the big opening was on the right.
Probably just how the skull opened. I mean, that, you know.
But let me ask you. So the bigger promotions, I mean, because when you say there's that rule.
Promotion. And they banned it out when Benoit's shit went down.
Right. But is every, even, I mean, we're talking the smaller promotions, they're on the same.
You don't see it happening on the smaller, you know, if you want to look at Ring of Honor, if you want to look at Impact, they typically don't do it.
Okay.
Typically they don't. But that's also typical. Here's the thing. PCO got his fucking head rearranged.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if that guy is even human after watching that.
He's not. He's not.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, that is violent.
Right.
You know, so the thing is that there's other ways of violently perpetuating foreign objects into a match.
Right, yeah.
Okay? It happens. And sometimes the good old knuckle will bust you open. You can bust it open the hard way.
Right, yeah.
You know, that... Listen, chair shots do not necessarily equal concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Chair shots are a dangerous thing that need to be controlled, should be blocked, you know, if you're going to do them to the head. I've done it. It fucking hurts. And I've done it without blocking it. It hurts.
Oh, you've taken a chair shot.
Yes. Oof. It fucking hurts. Because I'm an idiot.
You're more man than I am.
Yeah. It hurts. You know, I've taken... I was fucking around one day at work when I worked at Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
We were bored. We were outside, and I had a buddy of mine. He had an overlooking line in the summer that could see down into our break room for the tour guides, right?
Okay.
Where mm-hmm. we'd sit outside and have a little lunch, and they had little... vending machines out there. So what better to start fucking around and, you know, crashing into vending machines and shit like that, where people are watching and just like applauding because they're just standing in line waiting for
part of the show.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right, yeah.
So my buddy picked up a garbage can, and it was one of those big heavy
metal ones.
No.
Oh.
Here's the thing. It was plastic.
Okay.
So plastic, big plastic garbage can. No big deal. I'm ready to take it. Fucking just hit me in the head, dude. Until I actually got hit in the head with it. And he went bottom first, straight on top of my crown.
Ooh.
Right? Well, here's the thing. Now, you would think if it was a steel garbage can, motherfucker, I was... Right. Yeah, I asked for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's dumb. But I'm figuring plastic, you hit me with plastic, fine. One of the things I didn't realize was that it had brace axes on the bottom. So it was...
Got your bell rung.
Oh, basically, when the garbage can hits me, it leaves. I sell it, and all of a sudden, I'm going, well, this is hurting a little more than it should. This right. is hurting a little more shit. I'm like, what the hell? Oh, that's blood.
Bust it open.
Bust it straight open.
Yeah.
Right? Fine. Because I wasn't anticipating the consequence of the hit.
Yeah.
And at the same time, that's when my name gets called to go do a fucking tour. So I had to
He's
do it.
Busted open the highway.
I had to do a tour with a fucking compress on my head because I'm bleeding down.
Would you let go that day?
No, it took him a while to figure out how to fire me. We were entertainment, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing. The thing is that when you use anything foreign,
yeah,
anything can go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as... If you're doing consistently every single night, like Chris Benoit was, a headbutt from the top rope,
mm-hmm.
you're free-falling and hitting your head onto the mat.
Yeah.
That probably was more of the reason why his brain was affected
yeah.
than just the straight chair shots.
Right, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Mick Foley.
You go
back and you watch that, you know, Rumble match from mm-hmm. 1999. And The Rock just fucking laid it in.
Yeah.
You know, and it was brutal to watch. But another thing Lucky just said is he went back and he watched this chair shot on Cody about 20 times.
Mm.
So if this is brutality and this is something that we want to stop, then why the fuck would you go back and watch it so many times?
Yeah, King Lucky, why would you sit and watch
that? Well, for me, I was watching a couple of different things. I was watching the angles. To see if it was truly, like I mentioned, the chair shot happened originally.
You wanted to see if wrestling is fake.
Wrestling is definitely not fake. But anyway.
I wanted to see if this
particular angle was staged.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. So you wanted to see if it was pure brutality or not.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. There's always a fucking hunger for brutality, whether it's staged or not staged.
And, you know, for me, I look at this, and one of my concerns with AEW as I watch, you know, is, and I talked about it on the program a little while ago, is does everything have to be over the top? Do you always have to have color? I mean, do you always have to bleed in order to create that experience or that excitement for the fans?
But the only person who's really been doing it
is Cody.
Are the Rhodes boys.
Yeah.
And look at Dad.
Dustin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's old school mentality, too. We can't, you know, as much as science advances and all this advances, there's sometimes you just got to go, I was born and raised this way. And sometimes you can't change that within the generation.
Yeah.
It takes a longer time, you know, because when you're raised a certain way and you're raised around certain things and values, that's right. What you do.
Exactly. Uh-oh. You know what that means? We got a double pin. Uh-oh, there we go. A double pin story for you all tonight. So it's just not our three count. We got one more. Mandatory.com, WrestleZone. They report that Killer Cross, Mr. Impact Wrestling, absence is due to the refusal to blade. Now, it's interesting how this coordinates with what we just kind of talked about with the chair shots. But let me get a little bit into the story. WrestleZone explained that Cross is being, quote, punished, unquote, for refusing to cut himself, pretty much with a blade, in that match against Eddie Edwards. Now, it was noticed that there was some concern from a talent perspective over the lack of blood testing and the absence of a doctor or medic at the venue. And this was in Dallas, Texas. Now, it was also the Impact officials were upset when they had to go out and get fake blood for the match after Cross didn't want to cut himself open. Now, this was at the first blood match at Slammiversary that happened earlier during this year. So, yeah. Man, I mean, what would be your take on this? I mean, we could look at this story from a few different ways. First off, you know, does Cross have a point for, you know, not wanting to participate if you're saying that you have a lack of blood testing and an absence of a doctor or a medic? I mean, let's start from there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a talent, you got to protect yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at, there are different people at different times right now. And this is not a knock against Eddie Edwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Cross, his talent, his momentum is on an upswing. So why would you risk your most precious commodity, which is yourself, to do this kind of stunt match? You know, the build up to it was great.
Mm-hmm.
The match itself was great, and mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. But you know, you have to protect yourself. He looked around. If this story, in fact, is true,
mm-hmm.
he looked around and assessed the risk to his career and made an intelligent decision. And we haven't seen him on TV for a while.
Right.
So, and he's one of the better characters that they have on their roster. So that would lead me to believe that there might be some truth to this story.
And Mr. Michaels, I'm just curious. I mean, again, if the story is true, why then should he be punished instead of Impact's management going, okay, I think it's a little extreme, but you know, we had a plan, and maybe this should have been talked about beforehand. Maybe it was talked about. I don't know, but should it be as extreme to have him punished or kept off TV because of this act? Assuming this is what happened.
Well, it comes down to a couple of things. First, it's all alleged.
Right.
It's all allegedly.
Absolutely.
You know, unless Kevin comes out and says these are his words,
mm-hmm.
We're taking the word of...
Of WrestleZone.
Of WrestleZone, exactly. Which, I mean, I don't know, you know, if the source is trustable or not.
True.
So, the biggest question that comes to my mind, first off, would be, would a TNA agent come up to you and tell you you need to bleed? Because that sounds a little off to me.
Hmm.
You wouldn't. I just don't see an agent saying, have to bleed.
But this is a first blood match?
But in terms of blading? in terms of actually doing a blade job.
Right.
To me, listen, it's pretty easy to break someone open the hard way. You don't need a blade. That's why I'm confused on if this was actually something that was asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'd like to know, you know, is this something that Kevin was approached with? Because if it was, then I don't see how you can lay down an ultimatum.
Right.
Like, you blade or you don't get on TV or blah, blah, blah. Now, it could have been discussed between the two wrestlers. And it could have been decided that he wasn't going to blade because of the fact that there's not proper terms around. You know,
right.
If you don't have blood testing and you don't have medics or doctors in place, then you're not in a safe work environment for something like that.
Right. Now, I will say, and I mean, this guy's acting as a journalist. It says Cross recently spoke with WrestleZone's Kevin Kellum and said was unsure of his status with the company at this time. While he's still under contract with Impact, he noted during the call that at this present time, I'm in this bizarre limbo that is completely ridiculous, and that he's been consulting a lawyer about his issues with the company.
So there's my caution flag.
Okay.
And this is why I was very cautious on this article.
Okay.
Because that quote
mm-hmm.
says nothing about the blading.
Mm.
It says that he doesn't know about his situation, that it's bizarre that he's in this, you know, situation, that he's consulting a lawyer. But nothing is said for a direct quote from Kevin about it being because of the blading.
Mm.
And that's where I'm going. Something is not lining up. And to me, that sounds like they caught a headline and decided to run with that headline.
Yeah.
To make it something that's clickbait.
Mm. Interesting. Someone's got Kevin Kellum's number. We got to put this... get this guy on blast and find out what's going on here with this story.
And again,
see if this is true journalism.
Well, and that's it. The thing is that you can take, unfortunately, you can take something like that and he's protected because he did nothing wrong.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah.
He never directly said that this was the quote. So, you know, I tend to think that there definitely is something going on with Kevin's situation and impact. There's no doubt about it.
Right, yeah.
This is something that I don't think is very secret.
Yeah.
You know, Scarlett got out of her contract.
Mm.
Kevin allegedly wanted to be out of his contract, but they didn't do it.
Right, yeah.
Now, I don't know if that is true. That's an alleged as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to get that type of quote and then attach it to a story where you're basically projecting the assumption that, well, because they wanted him to blade, this is why he's in limbo.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, not necessarily. And let's, you know, let's not jump to the conclusions because Kevin is a very intelligent guy.
Right. Absolutely.
He's very articulate as well. And I think that, wouldn't it be something if, you know, he might want to talk about it with, I don't know, some guys?
Maybe those Vegas bad boys? I mean,
maybe
Thursday, maybe Friday? I mean, I don't know. Or any time that works for him?
You know, we do a live show as well, too.
That's true.
Speaking of the live show.
We're local. Oh,
yeah,
boy. What's up?
Speaking of the live show, you're used to seeing us on the last Monday of every month.
Yeah.
Now you see us on Tuesday. Where at? Boulder Station.
At Boulder Station.
And that's because...
are you ready for some football?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Football always wins.
Yeah, football season. So therefore, Monday Night Football gets a little more priority over wrestling. Go figure.
Well, not in Vince's world.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see, right? Well, cool. We're going to get into this interview. I know Ken's going to be calling us. We're going to take this break. When we come back, we will have Ken on the line and see what's going on and find out what this Moose character is. I don't know, man.
Again, Moose wants all the smoke.
Apparently. We're going to talk about that, and then after the interview, let's just talk a little bit about maybe All Out or StarCast or other things we've seen on TV. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy, Simon Street, with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Want to let everybody know that on Thursday, September 5th through Friday, September 6th, at Sam's Town Hotel Gambling Casino, Impact Live Wrestling is going to be here in Vegas. Again, that's going to be on September 5th and September 6th at Sam's Town Live. We're going to be there. Hope to see you there, too.
What's up, y'all? This is Sin City Steve. Just urging you to join us, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, as we are going to be at ROH, Death Before Dishonor, on September the 27th, live from Sam's Town here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Bell time is 6 p.m., and the very next night, September the 28th, there will be a live international TV taping. Again, September 27th and 28th, live at Sam's Town. Come check out Ring of Honor.
Meltzer is a journalist.
Well, we're just the entertainment.
You're listening to Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
On the phone with us, we have a mixed martial artist, a professional wrestler, bare-knuckle boxing promoter, a UFC Hall of Famer. Vegas Bad Boys welcomes Ken Shamrock. How you doing, Ken?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're living it up. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Hey, I appreciate you guys.
Ken, what have you been up to this Thursday? I know this Thursday and Friday, you'll be in Vegas, and specifically with Impact Wrestling. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know, I've wrestled a little bit. You know, I've done a little MMA, a little bare knuckle, a little kickboxing, and I'm always kind of that guy that likes to, you know, challenge people, compete, talk smack. And, you know, I'm in a kind of a place in my life where I've built a lot of friends along the way, and I was kind of trash-talking Brian Cage a little bit. It was some good fun. And all of a sudden, this dude named the Moose started jumping into our conversation. he thought we were really going at it or something like that. And it was just like, dude, shut up.
Right.
And so then he started getting mouthy with me and started saying stuff. So then I got mouthy back. The next thing you know, I'm going to be coming up to Vegas to stand in front of his little smart ass and see what he wants to do.
Man, that should be great. I'll tell you right now, you are as intense as anybody. I mean, with a storied career, and I just can't wait. We'll be there live. It's going to be at Sam's Town, and we just can't wait to see how this thing is going to play out.
Well, I already know how it's going to play out. I'm going to stand in front of him, and he's going to shake so hard his legs are going to fall off.
That's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
I'll tell you, you know, I was watching this whole thing explode on Twitter, and even The Rock got into the conversation that you guys were having there.
Well, I think what he was trying to do was Rock was trying to warn the guy, I ain't playing.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but he didn't tend to want to believe that was the case, so now we get to find out.
Right. And how does it feel knowing that you were the first ever champion of Impact Wrestling, and now you got this guy calling you out that's on their roster?
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I remember when I first started in talking about all his credentials, and I said, really? I said, I looked you up, man. I said, you got no divisional championship. You never been to the Super Bowl. You were lucky to even get into a game. You rode the bench most of the time. And you're talking about how much money you made? Come on, man. They don't pay people that don't play.
That's awesome. You know, and I know this is going to be fireworks. You know, is this a long-term stay for you, or is this, you know, just kind of got to show up and make this guy put some respect on your name?
Well, you know, when it first started out, You know, I know that I was reached out by DeMora, and he literally said, "Hey, you want to come down?" He said, "I'll bring you down. This guy needs to be checked." And I said, "Yeah, bring me down, man." So we started out as just me coming down to put this dude in check, and then it just blew up, right? I mean, it just literally, fans jumped on it, everybody started riding on it. So, you know, this could be something that might be a long-term deal, but we'll see where it goes. I know the first thing I'm going to do is take care of, you know, I want to say something, but I better not because I might hurt his feelings too much. He'll run.
What does it feel like knowing that the fans reacted like that? I mean, you've a 30-year career, man, and the fans still dig everything you do.
It's, you know what, I'm really appreciative of that, too. I know for me, I always, my fans were important, even when I fought. I know a lot of guys said that, you know, when they get in the ring, you know, they got to do whatever they got to do, and they don't cheer the fans. For me, man, even if I don't cheer them when I'm in the ring, I always want to make sure that they appreciated what I did. It was important for me.
Yeah.
And so I always tried to listen and see how things went. And so when I didn't have a good fight, and I've had a couple of them, I was depressed because I felt like I let the fans down. So the fans have always been important to me in my career. So it's really, I'm really thankful that now I am where I'm at in the stage of my life that they appreciate me back. So I really do appreciate that.
You know, I was in my last year of college in 97 when WrestleMania 13 was in Chicago. So I was there in that building up in the rafters. And I know everyone talks about, you know, how Brett and Steve had that match that was, you know, it was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen live. But one of the things that I think gets lost is the fact that the way you were utilized in that match was spectacular because it gave an element of, you know, this is real. You know, it just gave that real feeling. Could you feed off that night knowing that you were about to get into, you know, the business with the WWF and become a performer yourself? Could you feel that night of how special the you know, the audience of like pro wrestling fans could be in terms of just eating up the characters and the actual storytelling?
Yeah, because I caught myself into it. You know, when I first went in there, I was struggling with myself about trying to react to things that weren't real.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know how I was going to be able to do this match right. And so I was trying to figure out how to still stay to my character and be real to myself without embarrassing myself and reacting to stuff that were just silly.
Right.
And so when the match started out, 5 minutes in, I was caught up. I mean, I literally just went at it like it was like I was refereeing an MMA fight because those guys did such a great job of doing what they were doing that I never once in my mind ever thought that I was embarrassing myself or that I was trying to overreact to something. I just never did because everything they did was legit. And so I really felt comfortable, and the end of that match was just unbelievable. And I knew as soon as that match was over that things were going to change.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it. I love it. And with that, did being part of the WWF kind of prepare you for having some acting roles over the years?
Yeah, you know, it gave me an opportunity. But the MMA, my career in MMA did also, where I got to do a few other movies that were more you know, kind of like fighting ones,
right.
Villain, hero. But I got to do them, right? And it was an experience for me, but I realized I was no Rock. I realized that this wasn't something that I could sink my teeth into and enjoy. I just didn't have the same love that I believe The Rock or other guys did in order to have the success at it. Because it just felt to me like I wasn't wasn't using the abilities that I was given, the God-given abilities I was given, which was more active and aggressive and physical. Whereas in movies, it's literally a lot of sitting around and shooting different shots at different angles. And it was boring. So I just knew right away that, yeah, this is fun and it's a great experience, but it wasn't something I was going to be good at.
Yeah, and, you know, along those lines, is there a moment for you, and you've had such a storied career in professional wrestling, is there one moment that sticks out to you as, like, the peak of when you were like, this is it, I made it in this profession? Because you knew you were successful in MMA, but is there one in wrestling that maybe you could point to and say, that was the moment?
Yeah, there's no question. King of the Ring. There's no question that I realized when I had beaten The Rock that I had arrived.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the best things at that time that I think they had you do was when you would do the ankle lock and you'd get the tap out and then you wouldn't let it go.
Oh, man.
That was the best. You know, simple.
Well, there's that one there that I really enjoyed, being able to put more pressure on guys and be able to make them scream a little louder for real. And then we hung on to it and said, no, you need to feel what it really feels like. And so you see those guys screaming. And so it was fun. It was all good fun. But the next one would be when I started suplexing all the referees.
That was awesome. That was intensity personified.
Yeah, that was fun.
What was it like transferring over into the WWF with a fellow MMA guy in Dan Severn? You know, I think that Dan kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, but to me, he was always, you know, one of those guys who you just did not want to mess with.
No matter what me and Dan's beef is, I have never, ever doubted his ability. That guy has done some things that is incredible. Two ultimates. Just an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
And we've had our differences over the years. But I'll never disrespect him as far as what he's accomplished. And so I just had a match with him when I was over in Australia, and we did a 4-minute match. A 40-minute match.
Wow.
And it was like nonstop. We literally went after one another. And so the time ran out. So tremendous skills. I give him nothing but credit. So hopefully somewhere down the road, we could put all these beats behind us and we could literally, and the fans could enjoy the things that we were able to accomplish together.
I'll tell you, one of the beefs that I enjoyed the most was you and Tito Ortiz through the years.
Yeah, I wish I was about 15 years younger and I'd have enjoyed it a little bit more.
I don't think Tito would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
I think
that's one of those ones where if I was in my prime, that me and Tito would have been going at one another. We'd had a great feud. He'd have won some, I'd have won some.
Yeah. Without question. And you see, he's still fighting to this day. I mean, what do you think about him and Alberto Del Rio getting ready to lock up?
I think it's a shame when fans or promoters put an age on somebody.
Yeah.
You know, if the fans want to see him and they're still able to train and go in and fight at a level that is at a pro level, doesn't have to be at their level because obviously we all slow down, but as long as it's at a professional level, then you let them do it. I mean, it's ridiculous to think they've got to stay at that top 1% their whole career in order to fight, you know? Yeah, and right. So it's a shame that somebody put a number on it. But right now, Tito's still at that 1% level. He's still, taking fools out. So, I hope he keeps going as long as he can.
Yeah. And, you know, we just covered King of the Ring. You know, how much of the product are you still watching at this point?
I definitely am. I look at it, and I do watch different things that are happening in all the different organizations. But so I don't get to watch matches per se, but I do watch who's doing what and who's on top.
Yeah, and you were part of one of the most historical periods in wrestling. Do you feel like now with wrestling, there's another boom that's upon us, like kind of in the Attitude Era?
Yeah, I think it's an independent boom, though. It's different now because now it's more about guys and wrestlers being able to travel and create their own storylines, work for some independent shows, be able to do a storyline, quick storylines. And we're working away from that organization that controls fighters over 3 years or 4 years of time, where right. now you've got guys able to work in different organizations and create storylines, and the fans are able to follow them everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, without question. I think, you know, you look at it, the freedom for the wrestler is just paramount now. And then for the fans ultimately win because they get to experience these people and they get to see their creative side without being, you know, quote unquote, held down.
Well, imagine if you would have got to see Goldberg against Shamrock, right? In the Attitude Era, right?
Man.
That's what we have right now. We have in the independent world right now, whereas that's what we get to see. We get to see all these wrestlers from different organizations go ahead and wrestle one another.
Right. And you mentioned, a couple minutes ago about being in that top 1%, you recently traveled to Colombia to get a treatment that a lot of athletes are taking part of. You care to talk a little bit about that?
Bioaccelerator stem cells in southern, it's in South America, in South Colombia, in Medellin. I went there. What a experience, man. I mean, I woke up 2 days after doing the stem cells, and I literally, all the inflammation in my body was gone.
Wow.
Obviously, my joints, my knees, my shoulders, you know, the other things that take a little bit longer. You know, I'll probably feel those about 3 months, but I'm already getting full range of motion in my right shoulder that I had completely replaced. I had a match with Severn the other day, and I felt like a million bucks, man. Wow. I went 40 minutes. And so it's, to me, it's a game changer. If you get the opportunity to do that, man, and don't go doing it where there's a lot of regulations. Like in the U.S., there's a lot of regulations of amount of stem cells that you can use. So you got to go somewhere where you're able to use the amount of stem cells that are going to work. Mm. And BioAccelerator is that. They will put in the amount that you need to make you a Superman.
Wow. I wouldn't mind being Superman, I'll tell you that.
Dude, I am Superman.
If you were right now able to generate those superpowers and step into a UFC ring again,
ooh,
who would you look forward to facing now?
Wow.
Yeah, well, there's no question. You know, I've always wanted to be able to get at Tito, but I wanted that when I was younger, so that's past. That's not going to happen. But if I had a dream, it would go back and be able to fight Brock Lesnar.
Ooh.
I think... Yeah, he was the other crossover. There's always been speculation on whether who would win. And I always believed in my prime that Brock was a perfect setup for me just because he was so big upper body.
Oh,
that
man.
Once I got to his legs, he wouldn't have a chance of stopping me.
Yeah. Yep. And then the suplexes.
Yep.
You could've,
yep, there's no question.
You could have told him Suplex City, bitch.
Yeah. I think there's no question in my mind. I would have definitely been able to get after him.
So there's a big fight coming up this Saturday, and I want to ask you about it. There's in the UFC, but there's Khabib versus Dustin Poirier. If you could just give me a pick real quick, you know, this is going to be a pretty interesting matchup.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to go against Khabib.
Yeah,
I mean, he's proven. The other kid's coming up, no question. But man, if like I said, it's hard. It's really a tough one. But if I was forced to do it, I would have to go with Khabib.
Yeah, I just watched the video the other day again with Khabib wrestling a bear when he was younger and pulling the single leg on the bear, and it was amazing, you know, that his parents let him wrestle a bear.
Wait, a real bear?
Yeah, a real bear, a cub, basically.
Okay.
A small little bear. Yeah,
mentally, he's just unbreakable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really unbreakable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's when you watch how he does in the cage and how he traps your legs, it's I mean, it's dumbfounding.
Yeah, he's incredibly strong.
You know, Ken, going back to you growing up, and you had a lot of, different things come and go as you were growing up. You got into some fights. You had different family things going on. Was there anything that you took from your childhood that made you the person that you are today?
Yeah, the no fear. I faced a lot worse things than someone wanting to beat me up. So me being able to walk into a ring and fight somebody with no gun, no knife, there's only one of them. The mental strength that I was able to keep of that was walking in and fighting one person and he didn't have a weapon. That was like comfortable for me. That was like, oh, this is unfair to them.
Just mano y mano.
Yeah, he didn't have anything that could protect him. And I felt like, you know, I had faced so much adversity growing up with those different types of situations that for me, it was a walk in the park knowing that I didn't have to worry about getting stabbed or shot or jumped. So, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, and that brings us to something else you're involved in that's coming up here pretty soon, which is Valor Bare Knuckle. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about it? I'm sure they're going to get excited once they hear about it.
Yeah, you know, back in the day when we started fighting bare knuckle, it was no holds barred. I fell in love with it. Then this guy, Tank Abbott, put on 4-ounce gloves, started knocking people out. Of course, yeah. The promoters started saying, hey, what a great idea. We protect the fighters, which the reality is they weren't protecting the fighters. They were protecting the guys that were winning. Didn't want them to break their hands so they could come out and fight the next fight same night. So it was really about protecting the fighters that were winning, not about protecting the guys that were getting knocked out. And so they sold it as a bill of goods of being safety. And, of course, then it turned into this $4 billion business. And, of course, away we go. And away goes the pureness of fighting bare knuckle. And I always told myself I had the opportunity to bring it back, be able to share that love that I had with other fighters, be able to bring it back so they're able to understand what it was that I felt with that pureness of fighting, I would do it. And so here we are launching Valor Bare Knuckle. We're going to do it September 21st at Full Bears Casino. We've got guys like Mark Godbeer versus Jack May. We got Mighty Mo versus Romero Sokoju. As our alternates, we got James McSweeney and then Brian Heaton. And here's a good one. We got MMA against boxing.
Oof.
Former champion, pro boxer champion, Ishii Smith, going against a well-decorated UFC fighter, Esteban Payen.
Yeah.
Boxing against MMA, which is what people want to see. So I'm really excited. I've always looked at this and thought to myself, everybody thinks bare knuckle is the same thing as boxing. And it isn't. It's completely different. And so people go, well, boxers would have a better chance of winning in bare knuckle. No, they don't. You just ask Malignaggi. It's a different thing. Because when you're wearing big gloves, whether they're 8-ounce gloves or whether they're 12-ounce gloves, they're bigger. You're able to block punches easier. You're able to stand in front of somebody and take a jab and then return a couple punches. With bare knuckle, you can't take jabs and you can't block with your hands.
Right.
You have to move. And so it's much faster. It's much quicker. All the punches count. And so, therefore, you have to be able to, when the bell rings, you got to be able to get ready to go because it's a fast fight. And I always look at this and go, man, this is going to be interesting to see which one of these guys can transition into bare knuckle the fastest.
Right. Yeah, that's... Man, I'll tell you, that's going to be exciting. I'll be watching.
Yeah, to me, that's the exciting part, is being able, because it is, it's a lot like the beginning days when we used to watch, Kung Fu against a wrestler or a boxer against a jiu-jitsu practitioner. People didn't know, right? And this is the same thing where you got bare knuckle, and all these guys are going to come from all these different disciplines to fight in bare knuckle, and if they don't truly understand that this is a different beast, they're going to get beat.
Is there, you know, we talk about, you know, you saw the crossover with Connor to fight Floyd. During your prime, is there a boxer that you probably said, man, I'd want that fight?
Mike Tyson.
Whew.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Man.
Who's winning that one?
Oh, if it's boxing, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
But it would be fun.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Hey, as long as they pay me the same way he paid all his other opponents, I'll be happy.
Did you expect when Connor and Floyd had that fight, did you expect Connor to be in there that long?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have to look at it in reality, right? I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but I'm a fighter, and I know what fighters look like when they're fighting. And Mayweather was not fighting the way he would usually fight. He sat in a pocket. He stayed in front of him, and he turned it into a fight. And I thought it was a great fight. I loved the way that they were able to do that exhibition fight. They made it competitive, and he took him out when he wanted to.
Right.
But not for a second did they ever fool me that, you know, Mayweather was moving and slipping and countering. He turned it into a competitive fight. And so I thought he did McGregor, you know, he did well. I thought that's what the fans wanted to see, and they gave it to him.
Right. Speaking of fans, at @Saint_Clinton, I had this question for you. And speaking of Conor McGregor, this falls along the lines. Do you see the behavior of Conor McGregor outside of the octagon as a benefit or something that hurts MMA overall in the eyes of the general public? And what advice would you give to Conor about his behavior?
Well, listen, I've always believed that, you know, and I was the king of it. I believe that you can stir anything you want when you're going into a fight to create interest in your fight. And I did that. And I think Conor McGregor did it. He did it great. But I also know there's a line in the sand that you have to draw so that you don't end up in a situation where you're going to end up embarrassing yourself, embarrassing the fans, and lose all your money through lawsuit. And I think that's the line that McGregor has crossed over, is that he doesn't understand that you cannot do that. You have to keep it within that fight world. You know, when he threw the chair at the bus or what, the ladder or whatever it was, broke the window.
Right.
You know, that was beyond the lines. But I also, a lot of that responsibility fell upon the security.
Right.
Why was he doing it? Why was all those guys that was with him able to get that close to a fighter's bus? So some of that responsibility fell upon the security. They didn't do their job. But Conor McGregor, as far as punching this old man and some of these other things that he's done, smashing a phone, he's playing. He doesn't understand. You can't have them. You know, Mike Tyson screwed up, and he knows it, because he wasn't able to stay within those lines either. And he lost all his money.
Right.
He had to rebuild himself again. Right. So Conor McGregor is he's one step away from being broke. Because all he has to do is do something stupid, and they're going to sue him, and they're going to get all his money.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, at the age you're at now, do you think that something like that you can see as youth, or can it be just kind of, you know, the cockiness and arrogance and just not giving a fuck? Or, you know, do you see it as, you know, someone at youth who, you know, 20 years from now, we'll look back and go, boy, I would have wished I'd done this or that differently. Like you said, with Tyson, he had to rebuild himself. You know, does it come about when you're in the public eye like that and you're trying to keep fans but trying to blur those lines? I mean, is it something that, you know, sometimes just youth gets in your way?
Well, no, it's not youth. It's power. It's money. It's people that are around you that don't coach you well, you know. Mike Tyson and people around him, when Customato died, you know, there was no one there that would be able to guide him in the right direction. So here you got a guy that's got a lot of money. He's got people around him that are just yes people, and they encourage him to do all these things because it's not them, right? They're not going to be the ones that fall. So you have to have people around that are going to say, hey, dude, you know, this is what's going to happen if you don't stop. You got to have somebody there that's going to try to make sure that you follow and go in the right direction. And there's no one there for him right now. There's a management team that I think he has now that is starting to do that, and I think he'll be fine because I think he's got a pretty good management team around him that will, you know, kind of direct him in the right direction and keep him from really screwing up. So I think he's on the right path in the right direction right now. It's not like he's not going to screw up because it's you know, he's young still, and right. he's got a lot of money, and so it's hard for him not to have that kind of ego or that kind of thought process, not to be doing something that's going to be pushing the lines because that's his character.
Right.
But it's not pushing so far to where he can't come back from it.
Yeah, it's interesting too to see. You know, last week BJ Penn, something similar like that happened to him, and I don't know if you caught it, but BJ actually, you know, has got another fight with the UFC, and he got knocked out. You know, flattened by this guy. One shot was showing that he was owning the guy, but the other clip, the guy knocked BJ Penn out, and BJ's head bounced off of the cement outside on the ground. And so you just got to wonder, like, where's the rest of the people that, you know, are in his camp, his handlers, you know, his friends that would stop that.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, because the first thing is you shouldn't be in a place like that because, you know, the only thing that's going to happen is bad.
Right.
So going to clubs and drinking when you're a professional athlete is not a smart thing. It's not. I stopped that, you know, 5 years into me being a professional athlete after being sued 5 times. I realized that, listen, I can't, you know, this is just not a good place for me because nothing good is going to happen. Only bad's going to happen. And so I realized that, and I stopped going. I hadn't gotten sued with that kind of situation in a long time. So, you know, that's something I would tell anybody. If you're an athlete, don't go to clubs. Don't be drinking because people get drunk, and all of a sudden that liquid courage goes up, and they go, well, I can't lose. If I win, I'm all over the news. But if I lose, I'll sue them.
Yeah. It's a tough quandary to be in, I'll tell you that.
So,
hey, I don't mean to cut you guys off, but I got an interview in 5 minutes.
Yep, no problem, brother. Just once again, if you would, just run down the date of Bare Knuckle, and we'll make sure that listeners get a chance to you know, tune in and buy tickets.
Yeah, sure. It's September 21st at Four Bears Casino, and so so we'll be streaming it. And we'll be able to get that information to everyone before the fight on how we're showing it. We're going to be streaming it live. And 21st, man, we got a strong card. Mark Garvey versus Jack May. Mighty Mo versus Romero Sofiju. Ishii Smith versus Esteban Payne, which is our co-main event. And we've got 4 fights on the undercard, so we're excited about that. So September 21st, guys, don't miss it, man.
That's right. And this week, Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday, 5th and 6th, man. This one here is one that I'm enjoying because this guy talked a lot of smack. I get to stand in front of him, make him actually open his mouth when I'm standing there instead of through social media. It's Samstown live, the 5th and 6th. You can get your tickets or available at impactwrestling.com. Don't miss that one either because you're going to see a grown man cry.
And if you guys want to hear a little bit more of Ken talking and doing an interview, he is running onto another interview, which is going to be none other than Mike Tyson's. So please check yes. that out.
Yeah, that one should be fun.
Absolutely. Ken, thanks for hanging out with us, man. And we look forward to seeing how this goes down this week.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you.
All right, y'all. Ken Shamrock. We'll be back in a minute.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special bulletin.
Calling all cars! Calling all cars! A victim reported the theft of his championship wrestling belt while he was eating inside Longhorn Steakhouse. The victim stated he arrived at the Millionaire Club Airport Terminal and placed the belt inside his rented limousine. The limo driver shuttled the victim to Longhorn while the limo driver returned to the airport. The victim had taken the wrong luggage from the airport, and the driver took it back to the terminal. When the driver picked up the victim from the restaurant, the belt was missing. Responding officers searched the limo and the airport for the belt without success. On call, CID was consulted, and the forensics responded to the scene. We want you all to keep an eye out for the alleged criminal and AEW's championship belt. Again, this is an all-points bulletin. Please, if you see a person carrying the AEW championship belt, let law enforcement know. Now back to the regular scheduled program.
Welcome back. Big weekend. I know. Yeah. I know. Big weekend this past weekend here. All out. Nice. Out in Chicago. StarCast was out there.
And we'll get a little first-hand account of StarCast and All Out.
That's right.
From Sin City Steve next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy has just been touring around the world doing his thing.
Yeah, as he
should. But we can't wait to have that. CM Punk showed up.
Yeah.
You know? What do you guys think? Oh, for
real? Oh, man.
Come on, man. You've got... Tell me, were you a CM Punk fan when he was in WWE?
I was a fan of his. Yeah, absolutely.
And because... I mean, are you just think his time now is done as far as... His ability to create a hype at this moment. Because if he were to say that he was to join either one of those two companies, that would be huge.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would go, oh, sleepy time. You know?
Did he?
Well, no. So here's the thing. Here's what I have to say to that, Michael.
No.
Is your better payoff to use him on a weekend that is pretty much already built, or is your payoff better to be used at the start of TV?
I would have, if he is going to join the company, why the fuck not do it in Chicago? Well, you're 1 month in front of TV.
Well, they also have Chicago coming back around too, right before Thanksgiving. So he still has another opportunity. He was there, right?
Wait, so King Lucky, you really do think there's a chance that he's Jesus. Considering joining AEW?
I absolutely think that there could be a possibility.
Wow.
You know, there are some telling things that he said during that weekend. Like he said he would not talk to Vince or Triple H. That's also very telling too.
True.
But that could also be a smokescreen. But I think if you were... You know, you had him there already, so you had the attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though StarCast is not part of AEW, you know, it is, if you will.
Yeah.
It's always part of their weekend and what have you. But I think if you want
is
to...
Is it always part of their weekend?
Well, not always part of their weekend, but you know what I mean.
No.
StarCast, it's attached to an AEW show now.
Not anymore.
What do you mean not anymore?
Yeah.
Go ahead, break the news, DJ.
Well, there. No, I do.
No.
Well,
let him break the news.
Well, according to Conrad, there will be no more shows in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, like what? Until May, when Double or whatever.
Well, he had the buildings lined up for the Chicago and Vegas. He has nothing lined up. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you have to book these things way in advance. There is nothing there.
May wouldn't be there.
You know, something could possibly always happen at the last minute, but right now, according to him, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's not to say it's never going to happen, but it's right now. Let me tell you,
like when they were here and they were Double or Nothing, I'd put my money down Double or Nothing that StarCast will return in May when they come back. Why not?
Because Conrad just said he's not going to be doing it, so why do it?
Is it a profit thing? Did he say why in the article?
He didn't say.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, I think it makes all the sense in the world if it is profitable. Now, if it's not profitable, then you're talking about something totally different, right? Because you're paying all the talent.
But I still want to know why it makes sense in the world. Why do it? Why have a StarCast?
It gives you quite a few avenues for fans to connect with talent.
Like who?
What do you mean, like who?
Well, you've had three of them.
Yeah. And you think three is overkill, or four is overkill?
I'm thinking that he had a hard enough time, and if you read this quote, CM Punk was not a done deal until almost the very end.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very hard time when he had to pull out Undertaker and Angle.
Yeah.
And Flair got sick. It's not worth aggravation to have to pull off these huge things, because who is it actually benefiting?
Yeah, very true.
So I'm going to just go ahead and quote. Maybe you'll get excited over this quote. You know, maybe not. He says, I know I say this, or I said this after the first one, but this is the last one I have scheduled. Like, I don't have any other. I don't have a whole other building. I knew I was doing Vegas, that I was going to do Chicago, but I don't have anything like that up my sleeve right now. I think after this, you know, and obviously that could change. Plans change, as we say on my show all the time, but I think after this, it's just stick to the podcast for a while.
Hmm.
End quote.
And he's got five podcasts that are going to be going on.
Jeez.
So, you know, is it something that, you know, needs to exist? Especially when AEW now is not, you know, doing, you know, they're doing weeklies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at it, the weekly show, I mean, I guess in theory, the weekly show would fall on that Wednesday. The next day is the start of StarCast, and then that whole weekend,
right?
You know, and then you may have a pay-per-view or whatever. I mean, yeah, I can see the logistics.
And the other thing, too, is that I think you got to realize, too, there's going to be fan backlash. So, for instance, if StarCast continues with these, you know, let's say big shows, let's say Chicago, Vegas, LA, New York, whatever, at some point, does someone else start up something that is more underground?
Mm.
Because that was the initial draw for everyone.
Like a WrestleCon.
Well, a WrestleCon, but more underground, more of the, you know, the independent, based around, let's say, something like bar wrestling.
Okay.
Let's say they pull off, you know, bar wrestling is going to do a big show in Texas. And so now there's this, you know, buzz of starting this, you know, small thing. Because don't forget, too, podcasting was the basis of StarCast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it got totally fucking away from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that if you find that niche, then there's an audience there. If it becomes too popular, people turn their back on the popular things.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Lord Lucky. Would you like me to play your favorite John Cena playlist? And also, if you'd like, I can conclude the Thumbonomics tracks.
Anything you want to say to your subjects?
I'm back. Suplex City, bitch.
Well, here's a little bit of some, I guess you'd say, some sad news about also Dean Malenko revealed he had Parkinson's disease. He also revealed that at StarCast as well.
I think you better watch out. That topic's a little shaky.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Oh, man. You are so bad.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Oh. Michael's with the low blow.
Yeah.
If you will.
And had me too. I was
if
like, oh my God.
If you will. The American dream, baby. Come on over here and talk to me.
But oh, watch out. He's bleeding now. Oh, jeez.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you know, Malenko's had a good career. I mean, 19 years, even after wrestling, he was still with WWE.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite wrestlers back in WCW and the Man of a Thousand Holds.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little sad to see that, you know. But, I mean, we all get old, and I wish him the best.
Well, he's got a job with AEW.
Yeah.
So,
hello.
Can't be doing too bad, right? Everybody's executives over there.
Yeah.
But the question comes down to, once again, is this related to his in-ring wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
although I don't think he took a whole lot of damage.
Doesn't matter.
If you go back.
See, this is the misconception, and I think this is a big misconception. The term "whole lot of,"
yeah,
it. I mean, it doesn't take more than one bad bump,
yeah,
to potentially onset something, whether it be, you know, something like Parkinson's, MS, cancer, you know. Something you shake up your body and it sells. I think this is something that science is still exploring. And, you know, look, Ali had Parkinson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people want to say that it was because of the Rumble in the Jungle. And the question is, well, yeah, he took a lot of damage, a lot of punches. It was brutal. But at the same time, it could have been one punch from, you know, someone when he was just starting.
That knocks something loose, yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to Dean on his journey.
We heard the PSA announcement about a missing title.
Oh.
I'm just curious, what do y'all think about this? I know it just dropped today. Is this a work, or is it true, or what's the story behind it? That's a very expensive belt for someone to be missing.
Well, you know,
such a
rumor has it.
Okay, go ahead, please.
This isn't even rumor has it. This is bullshit you're making up right now.
Hot off the press, rumor has it.
Hot off the press, let's go.
That it is a work. All right, okay. So here you go. You saw Jericho on AEW's Twitter.
Okay.
With a video in the jacuzzi saying that somebody stole his title. This is absolutely a work.
Okay.
And it will be to promote whoever he's going to face next on TV. This will be the leader.
Here comes the bullshit.
I think, and Michaels...
It's fucking hot. It's steamy hot bullshit.
It's steamy, baby. Ooh. All right. Okay. If you were going
to
do...
Like, stand over the toilet bowl right now, and you'll feel it fucking radiating.
If you were going to do CM Punk,
mm-hmm.
I like that. I like CM Punk versus Jericho.
Wow, you still on that old Punk thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it still has some bite to it.
Yeah, because it makes all the sense that CM Punk would steal the fucking title. Jesus, good God.
Well, you know, I live in a very, very far out land where my servants and my village people respect the opinions of the fucking.
Well, look, if it's a work and it's a, let's see where it goes. You know, maybe this would be something that's fun and exciting. You know, storylines are important. So,
and they pulled it right time to do it. I mean, we're, you know, 30 days out, if you will, from the TV show.
This is what he gets people excited about, and that is this.
Okay.
Quote, the king, my theory for the thief, CM Punk. Quote, an unnamed person.
Mm-hmm.
I like that thought. It would make sense for this to build to the Chicago show Thanksgiving Eve, maybe. Big reveal there. Quote the king. At one time, Jericho called himself the best in the world, so they could build off of his whatever the fuck that means. And then another quote from an unnamed source.
Okay.
My first thought after the video was Moxley, but maybe Punk shows up saying, you left something in Chicago. The king. Quote, it happened in Florida.
I just had to put him back on the right track.
So, yeah. When we say that they, the people on the show have no inside knowledge, We do not have any inside knowledge.
Right.
It's all rumors and bullshit being perpetuated through the own fantasies of men who are in their 40s.
Oh, boy. Don't put my age out there, Michael. Stop it.
I'm just saying.
That's true. Yeah. Let me ask y'all this. King of the Ring. I'm excited that it's back, and we haven't talked much about it. We kind of see the brackets are now filling up.
They had a bracket buster last night.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, you have any idea who might win this? Who would you like to see? Let me ask it that way. King of the Ring. Who would you?
Oh, man. It's a tough one because you look at it.
Drew McIntyre. Absolutely.
Drew McIntyre is out of there.
Right.
He's out of there.
I know.
Vince's pet toy is out of there.
And I was thinking, man, this has got to be the guy.
This is the time for him.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No.
No.
The other guy, I'm interested to see if he goes all the way, which is the pizza parlor guy, which is Baron Corbin.
You think they would do that? I don't.
If not now, when?
Matt, what do you think is Samoa Joe's time to be king?
He doesn't need it.
No?
No.
Okay.
Now Corbin needs it.
Mm. I would like Joe to win.
Yeah, no necessity for Joe to win per se, especially after that, you know, that finish. I got a feeling you got one or two ways to go on it. You can have. I honestly, what probably is going to end up happening is there could be a Baron versus Joe feud going on.
Mm-hmm. Or Joe's.
I think what's going to happen is. Somehow, it's either going to be Joe knocks out Ricochet and Corbin like rolls him up or something like that.
Mm.
Or I think what in the end is going to happen is that Joe knocks out. I think that or Ricochet ends up pinning Corbin.
Okay.
And Joe gets pissed off that Ricochet pin, you know, and I'm saying like that. They got to play off of the three scenario.
If you look at the three participants in that match, I think the one person being protected is Ricochet. Like they won't pin him clean.
Well, that's
because
that's
he has a lot of stock, so that's the reason.
Yeah,
why.
Yeah, and that's why they're going to go the three, and then there will be a story there where I think Corbin wins. Where it's, you know, it has nothing to do with Corbin. He just happens to get the win. Because one of the other guys put the other
one out. So is there no faith in Elias, Ali, Chad, Gable, or Andrade?
Well, first of all, whatever you said his name was, but first of all, Elias, he is in limbo right now.
Mm-hmm.
Music changed. I mean, they just don't know what to do with
what
Elias.
Does he mean, his limbo. His music changed.
Yeah, his music changed. No. Can you see him being the king of the ring?
He's soft country now.
Yeah, he is soft country.
I could see him being king of the ring more than I can Joe. He needs it
more than Corbin.
Probably not, because Corbin needs it.
Yeah, Corbin does.
This is like Corbin's last chance. Elias got more chance.
He does. Mm. Yeah, I mean, and who? Andrade. Andrade was very. He was so hot before he went on vacation with Charlotte. I mean, he was on top of the world. Now, you know, I guess.
Fuck, man. Are you watching a different show sometimes?
No, or? I'm still watching the same show. Man. But, I mean, it's just, yeah. All right.
My weed is so much better than yours now.
Hello. The other big thing from last night was Bayley turned heel.
Yeah.
I mean, fans have been talking about this for a while now.
Excited about that?
I am. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. For me, as I watch the show and you watch fans turn on people or they may get a negative reaction. You know, it's time to maybe course correct, because she had been with this gimmick now for a while.
Yeah, really? We need to course correct. I mean, her merchandise sells. Jesus.
Oh, dude, merchandise sells hell hand over fist, you know, because she has the kids. And
exactly. So why fucking have her turn?
Well, then why would you have Roman turn?
I never said let's
turn.
Well,
no, I mean,
right
it, no, but I'm you're not saying
going
it right
to
now.
Turn.
But
he's not
you know the
it
long.
Would make sense to turn Roman. But Roman is also, he's a guy that he's not going to turn. Cena is not going to turn.
Yeah.
They're not going to turn those guys. Yeah.
So now, Heyman, so when we look at the show, right, the show definitely has a better edge. Would you agree with that? Heyman's taken over. You know, we haven't seen, at least to my knowledge, Bischoff being in control of SmackDown. But we know for sure that Heyman is in control of Raw. Sasha's back. Sasha's nastier than ever.
I like the idea of a double pin, and the ref has to go and talk to someone in the back. And apparently a decision couldn't be made, so he just walked to the back. You know? That was awesome, I guess, you know?
Right.
But
I just, you know what? Here's the thing. If you're going to fucking turn Bayley, then the next thing they need to do is have her, like, knife the fucking blow-up dolls. Literally fucking kill them.
That'd be awesome. That would.
But see, that's the thing. You go, that would be awesome. Well, again, that's inherently just killing off everything that she worked fan base-wise, right? All the kids and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So now, the thing is, that means that is the position they're putting Becky in.
Mm.
Mm.
She's got to be, and they were getting away with that. You're getting away from that with her, right? And, you know, in the end, the truth of the matter is that she was popular because of the fact that she had the I didn't give a fuck attitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now she's going to be, and you can see it, they're turning on Seth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be turning on Becky because they're going to be face forcing them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. Hey, a turn is great, especially if they're smart and they have the alliance together with Charlotte and then bring in Lacey. So that's your four horsewomen.
Hmm.
Because you don't need Becky in the four horsewomen.
Yeah, you don't. Well,
you don't.
Yeah.
She's an established fucking commodity on her own now.
Yeah, that's true.
Bayley and Sasha and Lacey could all use the rub of falling under that banner. And even though it was, oh, but that was them, and, you know, you're going to get the people, oh, that was NXT, and that was them, blah, blah, blah. Lacey makes more sense than, you know, having Becky in.
Mm. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, any other shows you guys want to talk about at all? NXT or what do you guys feel about? I'll say this, and I'll probably go ahead and just start wrapping up. But ROH, man, I mean, I love ROH, man. It just seemed like they keep losing their talent left and right. I mean, God, I just feel sorry. I mean, I know they're gonna still do well, but it's just, I guess, if anything, at most, it shows. It's a testament to them that they put out good talent that people become interested in. I guess that's one way of looking at it. Tennille, of course, popped up at AEW as well. But, you know, I know they're going to be out here in Vegas too, and I'm excited. But, man, everyone just seems to be leaving and hopping over somewhere, most likely AEW. You know, but let's just continue to keep supporting them. And again, they're going to be out in Vegas 27th and 28th out here. And that should be pretty exciting. And then Impact Wrestling, of course, going back to that, that is this week, Thursday and Friday at Sam's Town at 6 p.m. bell time. So if you happen to be in the area, definitely come out. It's going to be a great show. Your Vegas Bad Boys will be there. I'm going to be out there hustling because it's important to get all of our listeners to continue to not only subscribe. I'm sure the ones who are listening do subscribe. But if you don't, just hit that subscribe button. Then the next thing that you do, tell all your friends and buddies to do the same exact thing as we build our brand out here in Vegas. So that's pretty much all I got. What do you guys think? Anything else? Well, we call it a night-night.
Huge show. End of this month.
Great statement. Huge show end of the month. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Would you like to give some details?
That is correct. So, Future Stars of Wrestling. Huge show coming up. Mecca 5.
Okay.
Which Talon already announced you've got Taya Valkyrie making her return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, exactly. You got the Lucha Brothers.
Mm.
Ooh, man. You got TJ Perkins.
Okay.
You got Big Mike from Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
You got Matt Sydal.
Ah.
You got Simon Gotch.
This is a pretty nice card.
This is a stacked card.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all going down September 29th. That's a Sunday.
Oh, okay, so you got 2 days of ROH, and then you go Wrestling Weekend. That's
Wrestling
awesome.
Weekend.
Okay,
all and right. We'll be a part of all of it, but Future Stars of Wrestling, Mecca 5 at Sam's Town.
Okay.
5 o'clock, it was when it all gets started.
Gotcha.
And it's going to be a huge show. That next week, All Elite Wrestling starts, so this is kind of like the go-home for a lot of their talent. You know?
Right.
So, well, who knows who else we'll see there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might get CM Punk.
Oh, I won't say CM Punk, but I do think that we may get the Young Bucks.
All right. Well, until then, thank everyone for hanging out with us, and we will see you next time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.